This is a continuation of an interview with John Hutchins for Brigham Young University in the Charles Red Center with the Utah State Historical Society on December 14th, 1973 at 2 p.m. at John Hutchins Museum. This interview is by Jerry Lee. Mr. Hutchins, if you would please go back a little, could you tell me some of the things you remember about your grandparents or their parents and your heritage that you have and how they all happened to come to Utah and how you happened to be here?
Yes, my father was converted in the southern part of England, and he was just a young man, and the elders had been there. That's the first time they had been in that part of England, but they found Father was very interested. He was quite a respectable man. He was brought up by Lord Bridgeport, and as he got to in his later teens, he was made overseer of the estate. So he had complete control of the state. And he was very highly educated for that period of time. Lord Bridgeport's daughter taught him. He never went to school because she was very highly educated herself, and she took upon herself to educate him, taught him to read, and taught him engineering. He was found that very beneficial after he got to Utah. He understood the principles of engineering. But in his early boyhood, when he was 6 years old, they gave him his first job, and that was for herd turkeys on the estate of Lord Bridgeport in the wooded part. And that was his. And then by the time he was 12 years old, he graduated to driving the team on a plow. One man would hold the plow in, and he would drive the oxen with a whip. And he did that for several years, and then he showed quite an adaptation to being a lover of plants. So Lord Bridgeport's daughter seemed to him that he was taught the principles of horticulture, and he became an expert at drafting trees and budding trees. And one of his best things that he remembered most, he had five types of apples growing on one tree.
Yes.
And that was quite an achievement. But his older sister, by the way, was lady-in-waiting for Lady Bridgeport. So she was quite well thought of. In fact, the family was, because his brothers had all died or been shipwrecked and taken prisoners by other armies during the Hundred Year War. They were all seamen, and Father was the youngest, and he came by another woman. His grandmother, his first wife, died. But Lawrence was the only boy, that was his name, and he was the only one of this family. But his sister was the lady-in-waiting for Lady Bridgeport. And that threw Father under very good circumstances. He was highly educated, and by the time he was 14 years old, he was got about all the education without going to one of the crown schools, as they called them then, or universities, we would call it. But Mormon elders came into that part of the country, two Mormon elders. And he and a boyfriend of his went out to hear the new religion. And it was very appealing to him. And so every time a new religion came into there, they'd have a public meeting, and they would, these two boys would always go. And they were both full of mischief. And on one occasion, he used to like to tell us, to show us how really ignorant he was. This woman was giving a series of lectures in the park, and she had a big casket, a cast, that's a barrel, but it was a big one, she'd stand upon that. And then people would sit all around, you know, on the ground, and she would preach from that and keep turning around and turning around to get the crowd all in. And this boy that was with Father reached in his pocket and pulled out a couple of nails. And he says, "Now you watch this next time she goes around." So when her back was there, he stood up, and because she kept walking around slowly around that barrel, you know, to talk to them all, he nailed her skirt to the barrel. When she got on the other side, why, he started to pull her, and she'd give a big jump up and come down, and the head of the barrel went in. And down she went. And of course they ran, and they got out of it all right, but that was part of his bringing up. He was full of mischief. With the help of that other boy, he sure got into lots of minor trouble in his early years. But as time went on, they heard of a new religion that was in England. And they'd never been down in the Somersetshire county at all, and so they went to listen to these four elders, Mormon elders, and they both liked what he said, and they went night after night. He put on a series of meetings, and finally they went up and asked to be baptized, and the elder baptized them. And that was very contrary to Lord Bridgeport's idea of religion. He was supposed to belong to the Church of England because he was a member of the choir in the Church of England, and he was very well educated in the Bible. But they didn't like it very well, so he had quite a bit of trouble. But he wouldn't denounce his religion. They told him no. He told them no. He knew that he had found the right church and had been restored, and he was going to stay with it, and he would go to America. Now, that didn't suit his father at all. So his picture was turned with the face to the wall, and he was told to never come in the home again. He was in exile. So he found another family that had joined the church a few blocks away, and he went and lived with them. And they had a daughter who had joined the church, and of course they fell in love, and they were soon married. And then the desire to come to America gripped them, and they both decided to come to America. So he sold everything that he had for passage and shipped George Washington. They crossed the ocean and landed in New York. And their difficulties arose. They were lacking in money, and he had to get jobs here and there, but he being well educated, it wasn't very much of a problem. But his wife, who couldn't even so much as read, so he had to take care of them both. And they decided to get married, and they did. Then the spirit of migration took hold of them. The elders that had baptized him told him that the Mormons had been driven out of Illinois and had gone to Utah out on the western desert. And he decided that they would go to Utah. So they went down and got into Nauvoo, and the Mormons had just been driven out of there, and they were over across the river. And so he got work and earned enough money so he could see them across the desert to Utah. But it took him quite a while. He was there 2 or 3 years before he moved on. And in the meantime, the Mormon migration was in its height, and most of the Mormons were poor people, and the principle of handcarts had been suggested, and one company had started out across the prairie to Utah in handcarts, and they would, he and some of the other elders there organized another company, and closely behind the first company they had 160 members that made their own company and built their own handcarts and come. All that they had was that handcart, and they had flour and some ham and beans, and that's about all they had as food. And they had what few clothes they had there. But he came to and got to America, or to Utah, with the second handcart company. And the hardships they endured was terrific, because the lack of food. And eventually Brigham heard of their being so destitute that he sent wagons out to meet them. And the latter part of their travel, they had plenty to eat because the wagons had brought provisions. And but they still pulled their handcarts to Utah. After he'd been in Utah, another family came into Utah by the name of Wanless. That was my mother's family. Mother was from the northern part of England, up in Cumberland County. And some of the elders had been there and baptized several hundred of the people. They just made a big branch of the church there. And Father and his wife joined the church, and they became Mormons. And of course the spirit of migration seized upon them, and they went down and finally reached Nauvoo. In the meantime, the Mormons had left Nauvoo and come to Utah, but they heard how some of them went in handcarts. So Father, being quite an expert at tools, made their own handcart, and they crossed the plains in their own handcart. With there was only about 60 carts in that second group. he came to Utah, and his first wife was barren. Through an accident in her youth, she couldn't have children. And that worried them both. But when they got to Utah, they found out that the Mormons were practicing polygamy. They didn't like the idea at first. They didn't like it at all. But when they got to Nauvoo, they found that it was different, and they learned to sympathize with them instead of hate them. So among the others that came, they were some that were polygamous families. They had an awful job getting across the plains because his wife had been quite wealthy in England, and she hated the idea of walking all the way. And when they got the Missouri River, she refused to cross. And so she sat on the handcart and wouldn't budge. So Father thought, well, I'll go across to the rest, and she'll, when she sees me go across, why, she'll come. But she didn't. She just sat there. And they waited one day in the night, and she sat there. And finally Father went across and pulled her on the handcart across the river. And she turned out to be a very stubborn woman, that she was decidedly stubborn. When they got to Utah, they built a dugout, and Brigham sent them down to the little town of Lehi. The reason why he sent them, the man that led the group, the handcart company, was a Lehi man. His name was Israel Evans. And he took up quite a friendship with Father, and when they came to Utah, Mr. Evans went and spoke to Brigham and asked him to send Brother Hutchings to Lehi with him. That was his home. And when they got to Lehi, David Evans, who was a brother of Israel Evans, was the bishop. He had been a bishop in Nauvoo. When he came to Utah, Brigham sent him down to colonize Lehi and act as the bishop, which they did. But Father, being the only man without children in the whole colony, David Evans, who was the bishop, told him to get married. He says, well, I'm already married. And he says, well, then he taught him the principle of polygamy. Father didn't like it. He didn't like it, and his wife hated it worse. But the bishop, finally, after weeks of persuasion, he commanded him in the name of the Lord to take this young girl that had come and crossed the plains alone with her father in the back of the wagon and twin babies that they'd, which I'll tell you about after a while, but she had those twin babies, brother and sister, to take care of. Her mother had died in Missouri in one of the mob raids in Missouri. She had been killed and the place burned, and she had these twin babies which had just been born. Mother was 13 years old, but she and the bishop went to, or father and the bishop went to mother, and bishop explained the circumstances, and she didn't like that at all. She didn't like it, but he says, sister, her name was Wanless, Sister Wanless, you will never regret living the principle of polygamy. I'll promise you that in the name of the Lord. So with that promise, she consented, and Father married her. Everything was rosy until she became pregnant. Then the the first wife, whose name was Mary, they were both named Mary. It's quite coincident, but they both had the name of Mary. Mary the first and Mary the second. So Mother changed her name to Martha. And she was known as Martha Hutchings. But what was just a hatred soon became violence. So when Father would go to work on the fort wall, his first wife would beat her up and stomp her and everything until her first baby came premature and was dead at birth. But in course of time, she became pregnant again. And this time, it was even worse than ever. So Father and his second wife left the fort wall and come up and homesteaded this plot of ground. And he was the first to leave the fort. Bishop Evans was very angry at him, and he told him to stay in the fort. And he says, no,